It's too hot. It's too hot. Something must have hit the control lever. Turn it off.
Want to save energy and keep yourself comfortable? Turn down your thermostat 1 degree Celsius or consider installing a programmable thermostat. If every household in BC with electric space heating turned down their heat by 1 degree for 8 hours a day, it would save enough electricity to power Science World for over 75 years. This Power Smart Play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Hey, it's Cynthia from The Bike Kitchen. We moved, but we are still nearby. The Bike Kitchen is now located on East Mall in the trailer between Irving, Cape Barber, and Brock Hall. Come down and check out our selection of used bikes, work on your bike with our tools, or get a tune-up by one of our pro mechanics. We have a 1 or 2 day turnaround on all tune-ups. Check out our website, thebikekitchen.com, for more information about our services and prices.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a best of today. It's best of nine, which is basically a collection of the best stuff from the last five episodes. So we've got lots of good stuff in there tonight. I'm pretty excited for it. And as always, we've got Sierra and Connor in the studio. How are you guys doing?
Quite well, and yourself?
Not too bad.
A little bit sick?
Just a touch. Yeah.
Sick as Connor in these awesome glasses.
Yeah, Connor is now wearing 3D glasses for our viewing pleasure.
Not 3D. The world's a kaleidoscope all of a sudden.
For our listening pleasure.
It's crazy.
Not your best look, mate.
Yeah, they look a bit tacky, but like the effect is like wow.
Wow, like, the world is in 3D. Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not 3D. I took my glasses off. It's like in 2D, if anything. It's just all kaleidoscopy.
You look like a camp robot at the moment.
But that's not bad. That's kind of like, you know, post-modern chic.
Yeah, something like that.
That was his career goal, though.
All right. Well, while Connor enjoys the world in some... let's just do some white noise. All right, here we go.
Warning. The following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by President Trump's Planned Parenthood. You better plan for parenthood. First up tonight is an advert. From the people who brought you Grandpons, the postmenopausal tampons, and the Watching Sports Bra, the most comfortable way to eat nachos, comes the latest and greatest invention of them all, single packet Viagra. It's for all those ladies out there who just don't know if their blind date is going to need more than a helping hand. Maybe he's forgetful, maybe he's had one too many, maybe he's just having an off night. You can be there to set things straight. It's streamlined, one dose design, fits in most designer handbags, and that weird little pocket on the inside of your yoga pants. It even comes in female-friendly pink packaging, so this seems less depressing. Speak to your doctor today about medication for someone else you haven't even met yet. Warning, if erections last more than 4 hours, consider yourself a lucky woman. I've never needed to take Viagra. I'd need to have a girlfriend first. Next up tonight, people are getting turned on.
he's nice. Oh,
which one?
The one with the big arms and the man bun.
Not my type.
Really? But he's so tall and hunky.
No, I like that one.
Really? The one with the glasses and elbow patches?
Yeah. Brains turn me on.
Oh.
Look at that prefrontal cortex. So curvy. And that nice, long cerebellum. What more could you want?
He's got pretty bad acne.
Who cares if the amygdala's that big?
Right. I don't get it.
You're just brainwashed by Western culture into fetishizing superficial parts of the body. Nothing compares to a perfect corpus callosum.
Sounds like a hardcore band.
Oh, shut up and hold my drink while I go and see if that guy will let me earfuck him.
I don't go for brains or beauty. Just accessibility. That's not a disabled joke. Next out tonight is a production meeting.
Thanks for coming in, Greg. We've read the script, and all of us here at HBO love it. Don't we, guys?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
The rawness, the originality, the amount of swearing, this is what we do best at HBO.
I'm glad you like it.
One tiny but deal-breaking note.
Uh-oh?
There aren't enough boobs.
There is no boobs.
Exactly.
So what?
Greg, have you ever watched HBO?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, there is always boobs. Game of Thrones, Sopranos, True Detectives, even the Young Pope, second scene.
Right, but my show is about the Holocaust.
And? They don't have to be the greatest boobs, but all that undernourishment has to make a few women pretty tall.
Look, I think it might take away from the message of the piece, though.
Not if it's done tastefully. Maybe in this scene here. When the hero is thinking of his wife in the other camp, he could have a little sex dream. Him and her, in a meadow. Maybe a nipple slips out. Very tasteful.
No, I think him crying every night for a year gets the message across just as well.
All right, but no one is going to get a hard-on watching a man cry. Well, not many people.
Look, I have other options. BET offered me a deal if I gave the lead to Ice Cube.
We could get you the better parts of NWA.
Look, I'm sorry. I will not jeopardize the integrity of my program.
All right, look, we are HBO. We are meant to be titillating.
Well, how about we compromise with, I don't know, a little bit of ballsack?
Who do you think we are? Bravo!
There's already too many boobs on TV lately. Well, you know, when you include the entire Trump cabinet. Next up tonight is an advert!
From the people who brought you Luba, the escort rideshare, the best-selling Scat Chat, and Finger, Tinder for teenagers, comes the latest app that will change your life a bit. Spitify, the only app where you can live stream saliva all day long. All your favorite loogies, gauzes, and spittle in one place for the first time. You can even make your own spray list and share your spit with your friends. Don't forget our couples package where you can swap spit all day long. Spitify, all your friends are doing it, so just do it until you can work out what's the point.
I was on Scat Chat, definitely thought it was about jazz music. There was nothing jazzy about that. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Oh, it's you.
So, this is where you work in now.
Yeah, so what? This is the best sex shop in town.
Oh, no. My photo's still on the wall of shame. So what do you do all day?
Well, I ring up purchases, wipe down the peep show booths, and unplug the toilet.
Oh, you have to unplug other people's poos?
Oh, no, it's a staff toilet. Just mine.
And how much they paying you?
Well, it's about £5 an hour under the table.
Why is it under the table?
Well, I think because the boss has short arms and can't reach over the table.
Well, how would you like to earn double that?
How?
Well, you tell me the combination to the safe, and I'll give you a 10 quid note.
Oh, no way, Neil. I need this job. I've gotten used to my new lifestyle. I eat 2 meals a day of cat food. I live in my own kennel and I drink Earl Grey tea.
Wow, I barely recognise you, Carl. What happened to the kid I used to know? The one who would drink a car battery for a fiver? Who would dive headfirst into a wall because I told him to? The guy who was always there when I needed someone to punch?
He's gone, Neil. This is Carl 2.0. Stronger, faster, and a shinier coat. Because of the extra cat food.
Wow, you're really gone, eh? No more Neil and Carl?
Well, we could still be friends, just not friends in an abusive relationship.
But then what's the point?
Well, we could do nice things like hang out, or go to the park, or spit at cars.
That's just not the sort of relationship I'm looking for.
Well, then I guess this is goodbye.
No, Carl, please don't do this to me.
Oi, excuse me. Someone knotted all over the city in the peep show number one.
Oh, give us a minute, mate. Look, Neil, we've grown apart. Like my mum's legs.
Please, Carl. I'll give you whatever you want. Just don't leave me.
Hey, I expect better service than this. It's 2 in the afternoon and I have a lot of other options for peep shows.
Piss off, you lowly pervert.
Oh, I might be a pervert, but I am online dating.
You want some, do ya?
Oh, come on then, I'll have you.
No, Neil. Think about your lovely face.
Wow, I sold it.
Have some of this.
Ow, that's my good nose.
And this.
Oh, I didn't think there'd be actual punching.
Neil, you want some of this, soft lad? Have some of this.
Oh, my ear, you're fucking dicing me.
Nice one, retro attack.
I'm telling on you.
Wow, thanks, Carl.
No problem. Just because we're not hanging out anymore doesn't mean I still won't bite someone's ear off for you.
I know. Well, I guess I better be going.
Oh, hang on. Hello? Oh, hi, boss man. What's up? Yeah. Oh, makes sense. Oh, fair enough. Yeah, cheers anyway. Bye-bye.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm fired.
Shit, did he see the ear-biting thing on the cameras?
Oh, no. He just noticed I nicked all the profits.
Oh, right. So what now?
Well, is there still room in that dumpster for 2?
No, but I could use you as a pillow.
Yay!
I've spent a lot of time in sex shops. Certainly far more time than I've actually ever spent having sex. Next up tonight, Dick Wireless is back.
Another day at the office. Better check on the budgerigar. Oh, it's dead. I wonder if it was the food. Oh no, it shot itself. Maybe I should get some pictures to brighten the place up. Or just some more bullets. Come in.
Mr. Whiteless.
At your service. Mrs.
Mrs. Cavernous. Fanny Cavernous.
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Cavernous. What can I do for you?
The usual story. My husband has suddenly started working late into the evening, and I'd like to know what he is really doing.
I see. And where does he work?
A breakfast cafe, hence my suspicion.
Ah, and has he ever done a similar thing before?
No, but I've been cheating for years, so it's about due.
Oh, no. Poor Fanny Cavernous. Thanks for coming back, Mrs. Cavernous.
Any news?
Yes, I followed your husband for several days, and I have a clear understanding of what's going on.
So he is cheating?
No, nothing like that. He's actually, he's line dancing.
Line dancing?
Yeah, in full cowboy gears, spurs and all.
Gah, why couldn't you just say he was humping another woman?
I don't like country music, but I would never put it down all music has a purpose. It's just the purpose of some of it is to amuse the intellectually challenged. Next up tonight is an interview with his greatness, Sir Patrick Stewart.
I played all the great characters, King Richard, Ebenezer Scrooge, the Pooh Emoji, but now it's time for my greatest challenge.
Oh, you're finally going to play Macbeth? Aren't you a little old?
No. I promised Kenneth Branagh the role is his for an eternity after I lost that bet. I really did think I could pick up a maraschino cherry with my butt cheeks.
Right, so what's the role?
Well, it's the role I've been training for a lifetime. I'll appear in the Royal Shakespeare's Company's spring production of Romeo and Juliet as Juliet.
Juliet, but you're neither young or female.
Hence why it will be the greatest challenge of my career.
You think an audience will believe a 75-year-old man is a 13-year-old girl?
Yes, I will make it so. Did you see what I did there?
Yes, everyone did.
Yes, you see, I'll be the most convincing Juliet ever, since, see what I can do? I can just tuck it between my legs.
I loved Patrick Stewart in X-Men. I really believed for a second I wasn't watching a shit movie. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to Pioneering People. I'm David Seenamall, and tonight I'm joined by the inventor of one of LA's hottest trends, Henry Lawrence, creator of anal bleaching. Good evening, Henry.
Ah, good evening, David.
So tell me, Henry, where did you come up with the idea?
Well, like all good ideas, I was doing my wife from behind with the lights on, and everything became clear.
I see. So, was your wife your first patient?
Oh, no. No, my dog was my first patient. You know, I had to try a few different bleaches out before we stopped the scarring. And it confused the shit out of the other dogs at the dog park. They didn't know what to make of his ass.
Right. And so it's now safe for people to have?
Absolutely. I'll make you look brand new, I promise.
It seems, though, that this product is targeted at women, which raises its own concerns.
Not at all. Gay dudes love them too.
Oh, I see.
No one is saying you have to have one unless you work in porn. I just think the option should be there for those who want them.
So this isn't a heightening of the already suffocating sexualization of women into spending money to further a fabricated stereotype of beauty?
No, it's a clean-looking butthole. Get over it.
I wouldn't get an anal bleaching. It would make the rest of me look dirty. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood. Oh, lunchtime! Mum's packed my favourite pork pies and a Heineken! Yes!
I'll swap you three chap-chap lollies for one of them pork pies.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Dave, with the stash.
You ain't got a mustache, mate.
Nah, I got a sweet stash. I got them all. Haribo, drumsticks, Twizzlers, licorice, whatever you need.
Whatever I need? You got any porn?
No.
Ah, forget it then.
Oh, come on. Maybe we can work together. You're a big lad for 11. I need someone like you for protection.
Well, I am 5 foot now.
Nah, I meant you were fat enough to maybe sit on people if they get a bit cheeky.
Piss off! I get enough fat jokes from my mum.
Oh, please do it. I'll pay you 12 chapa chaps a week.
All right, for that, I'll sit on whoever you want.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. I've got your pop rocks, your dipsticks, your chewing gum. Go on, Bill, buy some gum. Everyone knows you've got shit breath.
Piss off, Dave.
I'll have 2 bags of Haribo, Dave.
That'll be 4 quid, love.
4 quid? You're taking the piss?
Is there a problem, madam?
This twat is charging £2 for Haribo.
Please, madam, step away from the merchandise until you come. Oh, my bollocks! She kicked me in the bollocks!
Oh, get up! She hasn't paid!
Piss off! It's not worth the pay!
Come on, man! I'll make it 20 chupa chups, and I'll buy you a cup.
Alright, deal. But I want a decent cup, you know, like a big gulp one. Mum, I'm home. Oi, what's the food now?
Oh, piss off, you little urchin. It's not dinner time for another hour. Have a beer.
Fine, whatever. Oh, fuck, the shitty lager, look at my teeth.
Have you been eating gravel again? I told you your uncle was taking the piss.
No, I haven't. Not at all this week.
All right, let me have a look. Oh, my God, Richard, your teeth are all rotten. What have you been eating?
No, only like 20 chubba chup lollies a week for the past 6 months.
Ah, well, they lasted longer than mine did. Guess it's time for false ones. Though I'm not buying new, you can have your granddad's.
Fine. Where are they?
Where do you think? Grab a shovel. She'll be able to dig them up before dinner.
I still have all my real teeth in a jar next to my bed. Next up tonight, people are fine dining.
Have you decided what you're having?
I'll have the filet mongol, please.
With fries or toes?
Toes.
And for sir?
Oh, sorry, it's hard. There are just so many options.
Well, I'd recommend the raw children liver pâté or the Keith Wellington. Melts in your mouth.
How's the Mexican here?
To be honest, not as good as when you have it in actual Mexico.
Always the case.
I've decided. To start, I'll have some of the calamari.
That's pronounced Colin Mockery.
Oh, my mistake. And for a main, a shepherd pie, please.
Excellent choice, sir. Can I recommend a glass of milk to pair with your shepherd pie and filet mongol?
Please.
I suggest something grass-fed, free-range, maybe a Wisconsin.
Sure, dealer's choice.
Excellent. I will be right back with your drinks. Anne, get your tits out. I need 2 pints ASAP.
I could never eat another human. The first one put me right off. First up tonight is a funeral.
We are gathered here today to mourn the loss of a great man. Grandpa Burger of the A&W family, creator of the Triple Patty Burger. He passed away suddenly this week due to a massive heart attack. He will live long in our memories, but not as long as the low-grade meat in my intestines. So, let's raise our glasses of root beer and drink to his delicious memory.
Why did he always have to have 3 patties? Why couldn't he have a side salad once in a while?
He always had to do one better than me. I told him to stick to the doubles.
And why is he here?
He is his son, darling.
To another woman! That chicken-stripping whore! I can't look at him! The chubby chicken bastard!
Calm down. Drink your milkshake. And actually, he looks like he slimmed down. More of a grilled chicken now. Gosh, our teenage son isn't looking as good. I thought with the lettuce and a tomato, maybe he would be a bit healthier, but he's still so flabby.
Leave him alone.
Shit. Here comes Uncle Angus.
Howdy, folks.
Quit it, Angus. You're from North Vancouver, not North Dakota.
Sorry. You seen how good chubby chicken is looking? Sorry. Let me get this beanbag chair for you to sit down on. Oh, never mind. That's your son.
I don't eat fast food. I wait for it to stop. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talent of Caitlin Docking, Connor Neckelpert, Sierra Wiley, Nick Rinker, Kenneth Tynan, and Simon Welton.
There we go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that half hour sketch comedy. We will have more sketch comedy next week. And actually, we're going to have a special guest host next week. Isn't that right, Mr. Connor Neckelpert?
I will be very excitedly hosting White Noise next week.
Yay!
Finally.
You sound a little less bitter about it.
Well, you see, it is a fantastic opportunity. I'm really aware of that. I'm really grateful for that. I just kind of wish Simon was here to appreciate it.
Suck his dick already, come on.
But the reason you get the opportunity is because I'm not here. So, you know,
so it seems a bit disingenuous.
So next time, Sierra, do you want to do it?
I'd love to. I've had the practice of hosting already.
Yeah, Sierra, opportunity, great. International Women's Day.
Yeah.
We have another international Connors.
I didn't really have a choice, but, you know.
Outrage!
Yeah, we'll deliver one of the better shows that we've had this year, for sure, next Wednesday.
I will be listening. I'll just be listening from where I'm going.
So. Great.
I want to start a Panic at the Disco cover band called Outrage in the Studio about this situation.
You do that. You do that, yeah.
I will.
When it's become something, let us know.
It'll be a great alt-rock band.
So coming up is the White Noise after show, as always. This week we got a couple of interesting topics. We're not going to go for the most obvious ones, I think, because they're just kind of doing my head in. But we're going to joyfully talk about some interesting stuff, so stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to play a bit of music, of course. So starting us off tonight is going to be Fox Opera. And this is Wild Wilderness. I hope you enjoy. We'll be right back. All right, there we go. That was Weird Lines with Between the Lamppost. That was different. I like it. It was chill.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
Pretty neat. All right, guys. So our first topic of the night, Sierra introduced. Go ahead.
So today, Malala, the Pakistani human rights advocate, was awarded an honorary Canadian citizenship by Justin Trudeau. So she's only the sixth person ever to receive an honorary Canadian citizenship, and she's also the youngest at 19. So the question is, what is the point of this? Is there any real significance, or is it just sort of like an opportunity for Canada to sort of put its name on the map of being in the right direction of progress? What do you guys think?
Well, first thing to point out, interestingly, is that it was actually Stephen Harper who was originally going to award her the honorary citizenship, and it was cancelled, or postponed rather, because of the attack on Houses of Parliament, which occurred at the apparent date that
Parliament Hill, yeah.
Yeah. So you can't really blame Trudeau for, you know, being a sort of trying to be on the right side of things, which is something that a lot of people have suggested about him, mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of it's like, I just, you know, always need to be on the right side of the argument, and whether that's genuine. But clearly this is not his original idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's about Trudeau, actually. I think it's about Canadian foreign policy in general.
Mm.
And I think it's about how we view our place in the world. And it's like, are we simply trying to get on the piggyback bandwagon of peace and progress? Or is there something we actually, like, as a country, are being like an agent for any sort of peace in the world?
Well, from my perspective, like, if Canada wants to have values for peace, for prosperity, for sort of multinationalism, they should embody those values where they can. And by doing this and supporting Malala and peace and activists, that is probably a step in the right direction to acting with your values. The question kind of becomes, like, where, if she's only the sixth in history, like, what's the bar? Because there have been loads of activists who have been, like, have acted really meaningfully towards their various causes. So what is the level at which you deserve or should get honorary citizenship, and what isn't? That's a question that's left on my, sort of in my head.
Well, I just wonder, how is it an honor to become a Canadian citizen? I mean, I like being a Canadian citizen. It's all well and good. But yeah, as you said, like, if there are only six people in history, there are plenty of amazing individuals in the, you know, since Canada's been a country. But it's not like getting in a CBE. It's not about, you know, getting knighted. It's about something that's very rare and doesn't seem like there's much precedent for.
Yeah, and it's almost a little patronizing to suggest that our country is this wonderful place that you'd be lucky to be a citizen of, which it, in some ways it very much is, but it's still patronizing on a world stage to say something like that.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? To go, yeah, we're kind of mediocre and pretty shy. Like, no, the Canadian government are going to try build themselves as the best version of themselves that they can be. Of course it's going to be exaggeratory. Has to be. Otherwise they're sitting there like, yeah, we know we're kind of shit.
And I think her story does reflect Canadian values, in that we, you know, respect and believe in the equality of education, and that's really what her story boils down to. And so I think, yeah, there's and also freedom of religion as well, and her right to, you know, do what she wants, within reason. And so, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot to celebrate there, and that we can. But yeah, it's almost like, well, why wouldn't you just give her, like, a Canadian honor, like, because you have, like, these medals that they offer, like, yeah. I don't know what it is here. I know we have, like, the Medal of Freedom or something in America?
Governor General.
And you have, like, knighthoods and OBEs in England and MBEs and all those. So, you can give all sorts of commendations and respect what she does. But, yeah, the citizenship just seems like a weird thing to throw out
there.
Do
we know, I'm ignorant towards the matter, but do we know what her current passport status is? Is she still Pakistani, or has she been adopted by another country at the moment, beyond Canada?
I don't think so.
Because if she hasn't been adopted by any other country, and there is at all some kind of fear that she can't go back to Pakistan, I'm not so familiar with the story, so I might be talking my arse here, but perhaps there is something good for a country, and if Canada's the first in line, they're great for them to step in and say, hey, like, if since you're kind of, you've been, not as exiled, but since you've kind of become alienated perhaps from your country, we'll give you a home, yeah, because you deserve it and you align with our values, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's actually against her getting it in a sense. You know, it's not.
I think it's just an interesting display. I'm not like coming out as critical. I just think, and it was really cool that she used her opportunity to address Canadian Parliament, talking about decrying like Islamic violence, as saying we don't practice the same religion. You know, I consider myself Muslim, but I wouldn't put myself in the same book. And it's like, you know, they're closer to the men in Quebec who fired on that mosque, right? They have more in common, right? Of course. But she was also talking about how Canada should, you know, redirect its foreign policy in a way to support education for women and girls and support refugees. And it's interesting and really admirable that she used this opportunity to talk about that. I just hope that it's followed up by more than something that's just an honor, right?
It's an interesting list of people who are those in that list of six. You have the Dalai Lama is a honorary Canadian citizen.
Again, arguably unlanded in a sense.
Yeah. Aung San Suu Kyi, who is the Burmese opposition leader and Nobel Prize recipient of 1991.
She was under house arrest sort of recently, yeah, in the last few years, back in Myanmar.
Yeah. And Nelson Mandela is also on that list. And I don't think he was ever interested in coming to Canada. So.
No, I mean, I think he seemed quite... Yeah.
Yeah, and the first person to get it was actually got it posthumously. So he
was
in 1985, Raoul Wallenberg, who was a Swedish diplomat and humanitarian.
Interesting.
So it is an odd list of people, and clearly I don't think it's actually given with the idea that any of them are going to come and live here permanently. Which seems odd, because lots of people would like to come and live here permanently, and yet we're giving them away to people who really got better things to do.
It's ironic, because it's like, help more refugees by making me a citizen and not them.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, it works exactly like that, but just in terms of symbol.
Fair dudes. All right, let's play another song, and we'll come back, and we've got some more topics. Next up tonight is Shearwater with Quiet American.
Thank you.
right, there we go. That was...
Hooray for the riffraff.
That's right, hooray for the riffraff.
Hungry ghosts.
Yeah, all right. Do you want to do it? Or?
No, you just looked like you were looking for the answer. And I really like that song, so I remembered the title.
Good one.
It was good. It was good. Cool. All right, so our next topic of the night, Connor, would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, so yesterday, big news yesterday, very shockingly, was that the Borussia Dortmund football team based out of Germany, their team bus was bombed with three, I think, pipe bombs is what they discovered as it left the hotel en route to one of their games, which caused serious damage to their coach and managed to injure
one guy's wrist, didn't it?
Yeah, broke a guy's wrist, which makes it sound like it's not as big a deal, but it's still someone was attempting to assassinate or cause terrorism against an entire well-known football team in Germany. And the aftershocks of that, I mean, are still kind of to unfold. But the game was cancelled, but then they played the game the next day. And they only lost today. They lost 3-2 to Monaco. So that's, yeah, a serious sort of incident of sport and terrorism, which has precedent in the past. We've seen stuff like the Munich Games and Atlanta as well. What do you guys think about terrorism, sport? How does sport a good way to cope with terrorism? Or how is there sport can be a good way to respond to it? And how much of sport is a good target for terrorism?
Well, I always think the answer to terrorism every time, in terms of what does the individual do, is you carry on as normal. Because if you start changing your behavior and changing how you live, then they're winning because they're instilling fear into you and fear into your lives. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. So your best bet always is to carry on. However, in this particular incident, I do think that the authorities perhaps haven't really take into account properly how much it would affect the team, and I don't think it's fair to make them play the next day in the match. Of course they're going to be rattled, and you know, at least Christ, give them a couple of days to recover, play it next midweek, next week maybe.
I think the statement from UEFA was like, besides the fact that a lot of the Monaco fans were in town already, is that Monaco couldn't play a game in the near future because their schedule was booked up. But it does still make you wonder if they couldn't move like a domestic match some other time, perhaps towards the end of the season, to accommodate this. Because to make them play after that, that's some serious psychological strain you'd be going through, perhaps even some level of PTSD, and then to make you play professional football after that, that is outrageous.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect people to go to work the next day in a regular job after you'd been in a bomb attack. You'd be like, yeah, take a couple of days off, man. Like,
but I don't know if we should equate PTSD, which is like actually being in a war scene with one guy.
You don't have to be in a war scene to get PTSD.
Yeah.
Well, but think about it. If you were on a bus that was bombed, you're saying,
saying it wasn't a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, PTSD is a huge, terrifying thing that happens to people who, it happens to more than people who are just in war, but, like,
people get PTSD just from watching harrowing pictures on television, things like that. Like, people, there was loads of people who got PTSD, apparently, after 9/11. From the images on TV. So if you can get it that far away from the reality, like being in a bombed bus, yeah, I could see that happening.
And I'm not trying to say that they are the equivalent to soldiers, but I'm sure they must be suffering from some similar symptoms.
Sure, no, I'm not trying to...
Shock, at least.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to assume their reactions. I don't think that's fair. But I do think that there is something beneficial in, as you said, Simon, continuing on as normal, not showing this sort of really negative reaction. And that I think, like, perhaps we have to recognize it might be a helpful way of coping with the stress, to have that support of your fans, to have that really powerful energy in the stadium that says, you know, we're here for you. We recognize what you've gone through. Even if we couldn't be there, you know, we have this overwhelming sympathy, and here's doing what you love, hopefully, is a way to kind of overcome the fear or overcome the negative experience you've gone through.
Well, yeah, that's possible, but some of the team came out today and said they felt they'd been ignored, and they felt they were told over text message when the game was going to be played, and really didn't feel respected.
Well, that seems like a management issue.
Yeah. Definitely.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, that could be their management, but, you know, and I'm sure, and it really, I feel like the reason they played today was because it came down to money, and it came down to...
What's the least disruptive, essentially? Yeah,
to making profit. Like, that's what it will have come down to, and that's what the management structure is going to be most concerned with. And I just think that, yeah, the team weren't really taken into account properly.
And it was great to see, though, as you were sort of alluding to, Sierra, a lot of the supporters, I mean, often there's been historic antagonisms between rival football supporters across all of Europe.
Really?
And so the reaction to the bombing attack was actually that both sets of supporters really came together, the Monaco fans and the Dortmund fans, and a lot of the Dortmund fans hosted Monaco supporters at their homes and had dinner, and they were able to really sort of bond over the incident in a strange way. And it really attests to the power of, coming together, of being able to share in with someone, to your point, sort of to get over that, to try move on.
But the scary thing is, like, do you need a terrorist attack to overcome football hooliganism and the terrifying sort of disparity between fans? Because you get this sort of, like, from the energy that, like, I've seen at certain football matches, and certainly from what you've told me, Connor, when you have these opposing fan groups going to a match and they're so ingrained and invested in their team, they treat each other like they're opposing sides of World War II, practically. Like, the violence that will often kind of be encouraged.
Well, guys, you have to consider the fact that the guys who were hooligans were not the ones that were putting up Monaco fans. These are two different types of people. The people that are like still hooligans in this day and age are rather sort of savage and sort of animalistic thinking beings. I know I've met many of them when I used to live in England and went to football matches. The ones that probably put up other people are like ones like me and Connor go to football, who are, you know, respectable people who just like to watch football and will cheer and chant and maybe, you know, sing songs that are mean about the other team.
Verbally abuse the ref.
But I'm not going to go out the stadium and then punch another guy because he's wearing different colours. Like, we're not, you know, we're not
animals.
You
punched me after I stopped putting the white caps on Wednesday.
Well, you did, like, you went to the game with me and then decided that you were going to support Tigres in Vancouver.
I think you're right. I mean, there's a kind of person who is a hooligan, and you're right, Simon, that person isn't probably the person that we're really looking at. Hooliganism is different, though. I mean, like, you can get swept up into it, and that you could be like a one-time hooligan. Like, it depends on the circumstances. But also, I'm not trying to compare it and say, like, oh, like, terrorism is a solution to it. Hooliganism really is dying out these days. But it's interesting to see that where previous antagonisms have existed, the idea of terrorism being a time to disrupt your life enough that you come together and bond is interesting, because I guess it disrupts the normality of it and makes you really become aware of like how much you value what you do, your sport, your passion, and your life.
Fair news. Any last thoughts, Sierra, before we're done?
I think I'm not the expert on this topic.
Fair enough. All right, it has been the White Noise Show. Thank you so much for joining in. Next week, we will be back with a brand new episode hosted by Connor and Sierra. I'm sure will be here too.
Sierra, definitely co-host.
Yeah.
I'll be part of it.
Totally. And you guys should bring in a third, definitely. We'll have to...
We'll see if we can recruit,
see who special guests we can get in. All right, thank you so much for listening. We're going to leave you with Sunday Morning. Can't Find You off Sunday Morning. So enjoy that, and we'll speak to you very soon.
Have a great evening.